A thing I miss about the military that I love about stand-up comedy is the diversity. I was doing a show a while back, and it was really funny stand-up comic. I'm like, this dude has a lot of fucking energy. He's really fun. He's fucking pretty cool. And, you know, I said, you know, fist bump, hey, good set or whatever. Nice to meet you. I'm Josh O'Brien, blah, blah, blah. And then fast forward to doing a couple other shows, you kind of run into these people. You're in the same circles. And not only was he a funny comic that I thought was cool, he's from, you know, not too far from where I grew up. And then he was also a Marine. And he's here today on this podcast. So anyways, yeah, I hope you really enjoy this one. It was a lot of fun to do. And also, make sure you call one of your veteran friends or text them or something, or like check in on a homie, see how they're doing. And if you're down and out and bumming, just say what's up to a fellow vet. If you want to volunteer the information that you're bumming, it doesn't matter, do it or not. But the thing is just when you reach out, it's good to have that connection. And a lot of times it just makes you feel a little bit better. Here's that CB song. That's where the whole "Stop Swearing You Cunt" came from on the album here. So
like
that's
that,
like
man.
To Josh, Steve Jones, "Stop Swearing You Cunt." And then Andrew Dix and Dunce, like Cookie, he was the drummer for the Sex Pistols. And that's Jonesy. And he drew Dix and fucking Dunce caps.
Nice big old fucking hog on Jones.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And it's dripping. That's fucking
beautiful. Oh, yeah. And he did that. He came on himself, I guess. Yeah. All right. Wow, that's he inadvertently covered Nirvana. Come as you are. Well, with that being said, friends, fans, followers, leaders, and true believers, I am here with
Jacob Rosales.
Jacob Rosales, stand-up comic, United States Marine Corps veteran. Hoorah, man. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Michigan.
Okay, Michigander River.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Point at the hand where the doll hurt you.
All right, so I was born on the west side of the state, small little farming community called Hart, Michigan in Oceana County.
Is that like, that's by like the K-Wings?
It's north of Kalamazoo. It's probably about a good hour and a half north of Kalamazoo. If you're familiar with Ludington, it's south. It's right in between Ludington and Muskegon on the Lake Michigan coastline. Okay. Yeah. The asparagus capital of the world.
Dude, that's fun to know. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't know. Like, you got radish capitals of the world, yeah. Asparagus capitals
of the world. I think if I'm not mistaken, the asparagus festival is probably going to be happening this... Pretty soon, they're going to be crowning the new asparagus queen. It's a big fucking deal. Really good beer tent.
It's funny because really people don't understand how awesome those things are in the Midwest. Like, oh, yeah. My hometown, we used to have a sauerkraut festival.
Oh, God.
I'm not a sauerkraut fan at all.
How are the bratwurst?
But the festivals were awesome. Bratwurst really good. Oh, like, everything was really... From what I remember, though, because I was a child, so everything is awesome or it really sucks. Yeah. There's no in between. It was just like, she's the worst person in the world. Man. Oh, she gave me a Jolly Rancher with a penny stuck to it once, so she's good people. You know, so there's no in between, but yeah. Well, that's cool. And then you, how old are you when you went in the Marine Corps?
I was 23, man.
23? Yeah. Okay, cool. So you're a grandpa. And it's in a weird way, right?
It was fucking nice, dude.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Cool.
Being that old, because it was like boot camp was fun.
Right.
Like, it was just getting fucking beat and punched. I remember I got waterboarded by a drill instructor. And, like, the whole time that was happening, I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Like, I just fucking loved it, dude. But then, like, when I got in the fleet, it was, like, it was just different because, they knew, oh, this guy's been around, like, you know.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like, you know, they could tell, oh, he wasn't just fucking born yesterday. So that was nice. And it was just also nice to, like... Not be because I was in 2002 to 2006, and so there was it must have really sucked to be like 18 then and just kind of like have to deal with the bullshit of like no drinking and everyone's drinking anyways.
Oh, yeah,
and all that. And it's just because, like, yeah, I mean, it was very common to just kind of like go into the barracks and see some fucking kid just passed out in his own vomit on the stairwell and stuff. And
does this where is this, Camp Lejeune or Okinawa? Or?
Camp Pendleton, man.
Pendleton.
I was at Camp Pendleton. I was a part of the 11th Marine Regiment, field artillery. So,
that where you went through boot and everything's like
MCRD in San Diego. Right? No, so they have two spots for boot camp. You got Parris Island, which is in one of the Carolinas.
Yeah.
And then with Michigan, how they do it, because usually how it goes is east of the Mississippi goes to Paris okay. Island. West of the Mississippi goes to MCRD San Diego. But with Michigan, if you do not, if you live outside of Detroit and in the Lower Peninsula, they send you to San Diego. If you live in the okay. Upper Peninsula or Detroit, they send you to Paris Island. Or you can have that whole, there's that whole thing, like if your dad went to Paris Island, you can go to Paris Island. I was glad. I wanted to go to San Diego. I was like, let's fucking go out there and, you know, be in good weather. And I'd never been to California before.
Plus, I mean, it's not humidity and all that other stuff. And like,
The sand fleas. You got the fucking hills in Pendleton. And that's the whole battle. There's the whole like, fucking Hollywood Marines. And it's like, yeah, well, you bitches are fucking, you got flat land to walk on, but you don't have sand fleas and da da da. It's weird. I tell you what though, with, cause like the Marine Corps, they're going through a whole big deal with, the whole integration of females into boot camps. And because for the longest time, it was a 4th Recruit Training Battalion, which is that was the women's battalion at Paris Island. No women at MCRD San Diego.
Okay, just, so now they're both in both places then, eh?
I think they're starting to get, I think they've had female drill instructors out of MCRD San Diego, but I think now they're starting to get female platoons. And I tell you, I'd like to be honest, that's not like I would want to train with women in boot camp, but like those lucky motherfuckers, now they got the female drill instructors. There's some smoke shows. I'd be like, just that would just be fun. You're talking about
not because of sexual, like whatever. It's because they're beautiful. You want to be around some hot tricks.
Oh my God.
Beautiful women.
To be honest, it'd be so great to have just some woman dressed up as a drill instructor wearing that smoky hat, call me a worthless piece of shit and do some push-ups.
There you go.
That's motivation right there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's basically what you're saying is you need a dominatrix in your life.
That'd be fun. Aye, ma'am. Yeah, so, you know, that was, it was interesting doing the whole serving then, and I dodged a bullet with regards to the sandbox.
Oh, like, for that. So, you mean not going to Iraq and stuff?
Yeah,
and
man.
What was your job?
I was an 0811, a field artillery cannoneer.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm going to shut these doors real quick. I'm hearing motorcycles and stuff. Cause this is a good spot to pick up in 2 seconds.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We used to say pull string, go boom.
Pull string. Yeah. Is that like the, I just heard my neighbors, my neighbors have a construction company, so I just heard them pull up, and I'm like, oh, shit. They're going to just be, like, launching shit up and talking shit outside. Let's not pick it up on here. But, all right, so you guys with pull string go boom, so that's, like, howitzers and, like, all that other stuff?
Yeah, when I got in, the Marine Corps we were using, it was called the M1 9 or 8. That's a 155-millimeter howitzer cannon.
Okay.
And that was an old... I mean, that thing had been around since probably, I want to say, like, early 80s, late 70s.
Okay.
Big, like, 16 tons. It was a fucking beast. Big fucking hunk of metal. Just a big bitch. And I think when I was just getting out, they started to transition to what they're using now. It's the 777. And that one is much lighter in weight. It's got kind of like counterbalance to it. So like when you lift the fucking gun trails off the truck and stuff to put it in place in your position, it's not, you don't have to have as many troops do it and stuff. And it's a little bit more automated especially with regards to like, loading the rounds in the tube. Like,
it's not like six guys humping their backs to fucking shovel something in.
Like they have an automatic like loading tray. What we had, it was you'd have two Marines on the loading tray picking it up, and then you get another Marine on the ramming staff, and so it's, and you just fucking, it was like a big toilet plunger.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know how in the military
I've seen videos, but I've never had to do that.
Like we have all these stupid ditties.
Yeah,
and so like one thing for Marines is I'm up, he sees me, I'm down. Like you say when you're running and doing fucking live fire and shit,
you know?
And artillery. We would always say seat home ready ram.
Okay, so that's like fucking the whole process of
fucking ramming around into a tube, man.
Let's start a cadence. Feeding, chambering, firing, chambering, locking, firing, unlocking, extracting, ejecting, cocking, feeding, chambering. I mean, I know my M16, but that's an M4 and
yeah, that's breaking shit down Barney style. So fucking funny.
That we got to do it sometimes, yeah, man. And then, like, for welding, senators and representatives, reverse electrode positive, straight electrode negative. Put your hand on the stinger, strike an arc like a match, move over, Ada Builder, let the mighty steelworkers pass.
Oh, God.
Yeah, funny, the fun hoorah, freaking, okay. Everybody has those, you know, look what to the left, what do I see? A bunch of, you know, Alpha Company trying to be like me. Or,
oh, yeah.
Are those, you guys had those type?
Oh, yeah, a bunch of chicken shit bitches trying to be like, oh, yeah, man.
Hell yeah, man. I kind of miss the cadence that side of the house, you know?
Oh, yeah, running and singing. I remember we had, this is the first time we were out in Okinawa. We had this smart ass. His name was White. He was a Motor T guy, and he was just such a fucking smart ass.
Right.
And I remember we had this fitness, I don't know, it was a fucking fitness trainer come and talk to us about, like, you know, stretching and all this kind of crap. And so White, he's fucking, he raised his hand, like, oh, what's up? And he's like, do you run when you, do you sing when you run? And we're just busting out laughing. Like, how important is it to sing when you run? Is that good for calisthenics? And they're just like, oh, Jesus, you smart ass.
Now, what's your feeling on formation runs? Do you do that, sir? And yeah. They're like,
yeah, how good is that? Does that help your core?
My mom, she Pilates instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And for like a mill of a second, I was like, dude, that'd be cool. Because every once in a while, I have instructors and stuff like that, you know, civilians. And then I was thinking of an entire battalion that see my mom teach them Pilates, who my mom is only 16 years older than me.
Oh, dude. That's a recipe for disaster.
No. You know.
Oh, my God.
And so at the time, my mom would be younger than what I am right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was like, hey, mom, you know, it'd be really cool. Just come visit sometime. I didn't go into the whole, like, you should teach these classes, man.
No. There's some things better left unsaid.
Yeah, totally, man. Did you have to go to school in Pendleton
for your job? No. So the only in Pendleton, because there's the Marine Corps Recruit Depot is down in San Diego by the airport.
Yeah.
But you do all of the field training and rifle range in Edson Range, which is in Camp Pendleton.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you that's do that. Like... And then also they have the Infantry Training Battalion. So anyone that becomes a grunt, they go after they get done with boot camp, they go straight to Infantry Training Battalion for doing the infantry MOS, all the pogues, personnel other than grunts.
Right.
They, after boot camp, you go to, it's called MCT, Marine Combat Training. So you do you do the Marine Combat Training in Pendleton. And then from there, you ship out to your MOS school. Mine was in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. I was on a Navy post.
Okay.
Or Army post, sorry. And fucking, just a fucking nightmare, bro. Like, luckily, I was only there for like a month.
Right.
But
Month's long enough, man.
It's a lot in Oklahoma. It's just a dry, shitty heat. But the worst part is my aunt, she lives there.
Oh.
She was an officer in the Army. And when she got out, she just was a civilian employee on the post there.
Right.
And so by the time I got there, she'd probably been working on post for over 20 years. She's working for the fucking command, the post general.
Oh,
and
shit.
And so I get there, and then, like, I get there, and our fucking gunny is like, where's Rosales? And I'm like,
Rosales!
I'm right here. And he's like, go to the duty hut. You got to make a phone call. I'm like, okay. And he's like, call your aunt. She's been bugging. She's been asking about you. I'm like, what? And he's like, who the fuck is she? She's sending goddamn Army majors and Army sergeant majors over here trying to look up on you. Who the fuck is she? And I'm like, she works on post, I think. Well, what the fuck? And so I call her and I'm like, hey, I'm here. She's okay, cool. And she, you know, and then I find out later that she fucking works for the post general. And I'm like, fuck.
Oh.
So they did not like me. They did not like me one bit. It was not.
Yeah. Were they at least nice to you or not even?
No, they just didn't like that. I could just tell. Like they just did not like me.
Yeah.
I had a lot
PFC.
of yeah, man. I did a lot of fucking scrubbing pots and pans in the fucking kitchen. The chow hall there.
When I was recruiting in Ohio, I put some people into the CBs, and then it's just like such a small organization, you know. And it was cool because like I love it. But one thing that did kind of suck is one of my recruits didn't call home for like months. months and months and months. And his mom was like worried that something bad happened to him. So I literally, she was like, fucking call my chief. Like, can't say her rest in peace. It was like me and another dude ran a station together. And he's like, dude, Josh, can you just fucking call any fucking CVs at the schoolhouse and find out what's up? And then like a buddy of mine I was in Korea with happens to be like, you know, part of the schoolhouse, running the schoolhouse and shit. So I called him up and was like, yeah, dude, no problem. And then, you know, had him call his mom and all that other shit. And I was like, dude, he's like, and then he just like, why, you know, and then this, I won't mention names, but, cause he's still on active duty. He's like, why did you do that? And I was like, cause I was fucking sick of hearing your mom talk to my boss. And then my boss talked to me. So call your fucking mom,
Fucking mom, bro.
So I was like, it's like, Anthony Boyko was the dude that was still working at the schoolhouse. He's retired. Good dude. Good motherfucker. I was so glad Boyko was there. I was like, dude, can you fucking have him call his mom? And you know, and he's just like, yeah, call your fucking mom. Good shit, man. Dude, that shit goes, that's crazy. Fucking, after school, so go directly to Okinawa then, or?
No, so I get into the fleet, and when I got in the fleet, it was...
Define fleet.
So
for those that are
that's
like...
That's kind of like the real Marine Corps.
Yeah.
You have all this kind of schooling that you do, and it depends on what you do. If you have like a job that takes a lot of like technical skills and stuff, then you're probably going to be in school for a while. Or if you're like a translator, I think that school's like fucking over like years. But like something as simple as pull string, go boom, it's a month long MOS school. It's super quick, you know, it's in and out. So then, you know, and then you get to the fleet, and the saying was, it was always like, you know, you're in school or you're tired now, you could sleep when you get to the fleet. And then you get to the fleet and you're like, fuck, I'll just fucking sleep when I'm dead. You know, then you kind of
pretty much that out.
So they send me to Penn. It's funny. Cause like when our master gunnery sergeant, the guy that was like fucking in charge of all the different artillery MOSs and stuff, the main enlisted guy, Master Guns Young. What an old pervert. I mean, he had those old school like Coke bottle fucking glasses that were hella thick. Cause I mean, the dude looked like he was probably 65, but he was probably maybe like 38 or 39. Just, you know, one of those enlisted guys that like aged hella bad. And just, you know, the classic senior staff NCO with fucking sleeves down to his fucking, you know, rolled to fucking forearm. And that's about it.
Right.
Fucking, he was Southern black guy, hey, devil dog. And just such a degenerate. He'd just bring into his office to show you like the most disgusting pornography you could imagine. It's hilarious. They had us kind of like write down where we wanted to go for our permanent duty station. And in artillery, you either get Lejeune, Pendleton, or Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because there's out in K-Bay, they have 12th Marines. They have a battalion, one artillery battalion out there. And so, you know, people are, you know, saying where they want to go. I put Pendleton. You know, I didn't. Well, and there was also 29 Palms. There was I don't know if they still have an artillery battalion out there, but there was, yeah, I was like, I don't want the fucking stumps. I put Pendleton, and then I remember Master Guns, he fucking brings me in with two other guys, and he's like, hey, Rosales, why you want to go to Camp Pendleton? You're from Michigan. You should go to Lejeune. It's close to your family. And I'm like, I don't want to go there. I'm like, I don't want to be close to Michigan. I'm like, I've always wanted. And I had to put, I went woke on him, dude. I was like, well, I'm Latino, and it's just like, I've grew up in Michigan my whole life.
There's
more Latinos here in California and this and that. I think it'd be really good, culturally enlightening, a good experience for me.
It would have been funny, though, is like if he just says, yes, Michigan, your dream is forever. Oh, if he started singing the slogan commercial, it was on every 5 seconds.
Yeah, but so I did that whole spiel and it worked. And I remember like when I left, because the two guys that were also in the office with me, they were both Mexican, and they were like, dude, you don't give a shit about the culture. And I'm like, I know, I just don't want to be in Camp Lejeune. I'd rather be in San Diego.
I think that's a
much better experience. I think that's just overall better. And they're like, yeah,
and God bless the people who want to be on the East Coast, but I was like you, I like the West, you know, and it's just, you know, it is what it is, man.
So they sent me to Pendleton, and this was like late, I think it was like late May of 2003. So all the fighting in Iraq had pretty much like we had fucking taken over.
Yeah.
And so the battery and the battalion that I was going to they had all been back. They were on post-deployment leave. So we were just a, they're like a gang of like 50 boots just doing fuck games with like the advanced party guys that had already taken all their leave. And we had about like a month of just stupid fuck games, like doing cleaning your barracks until goddamn 3 o'clock in the morning with a Q-tip.
I don't think you got enough cigarette butts picked up out there.
Lance Corporal. Oh, shit.
Why don't you get out there, PFC, Lance Corporal, guys go out there.
We don't like how the sand in the volleyball pit looks. Yeah,
I saw one rake to it. Go sift the entire thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was so much fun. But then, you know, we get everyone comes back from their post-deployment leave, and our master sergeant was just like, he was telling us where we're going to go. And I was supposed to go to Echo Battery. And then he gets done, and he says, I need 2 volunteers to go to Fox Battery. They're going to the Mew in 6 months, Okinawa. Who wants to go? And like, I joke about it, but it's like literally in my head, all I was thinking was like, dude, Okinawa, that's where Mr. Miyagi from the Karate Kid is from.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just, you know, put my Dick Skinner up in the air.
Yeah, man.
And he's like, all right, Razan, you go. And there's this other guy, Lopez. We call him Slopez because he was just fucking dumb as a stump and slow. And he put his hand up and he's like, Lopez, no, you stupid ass. He's like, you got 2 kids. He's like, you don't need that bullshit in your life. No. And so my other buddy, he went. We both got sent to Fox. And then Fox went on the Mew. We did 6 months on the Mew, came back. And they said, oh, okay.
Marine Expeditionary Unit. Correct. But is that like, when you said you did 6 months, you're kind of skipping. So were you on a ship then, or did you go?
We flew to Oki.
Right.
And then we were on at Camp Hansen.
Okay. And, oh, yeah. Okay. I know Hansen now.
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of chilling out there for like two months. Hansen
ain't bad.
Yeah,
It's not great, but it ain't bad.
It's shitty as like Schwab. That
was Schwab's fucking
dump. Yeah, whoa. Way the fuck up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, we did all and like we were because we're artillery battery. So artillery battery on a Mew is they're the support firing battery for the grunt battalion that's in the Mew. So like you know we have those kind of like okay artillery firing support for infantry, but because it's a Mew, we took on other kind of other roles. So we were like, if there was say like a riot at an embassy,
right?
We would hop on helicopters and fly down and do like riot control. So we had to do a lot of like non-lethal training and stuff about like riot control training with batons and pepper spray and all that right. fun shit.
That whole what was it called? React. React train drills and like all.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So it's like we had to do a lot of like training for doing a boarding helicopters, being a helicopter, dunk tank training, all that, which was kind of fun. Fast roping off a helicopter, that was really fucking fun.
Oh yeah, man.
That was a lot. So a lot of shit like that. Did that on Camp Hansen, and then you know hop on board some naval vessels and kind of sail around the seven seas a little bit.
Yeah. I always mess with like the Marines that bitch about like, oh, you're a fucking squid. You know, nobody really does that with me. I mean, you and I always just fuck with each other because we're comics, like in comedy sense. But and it's like, dude, I was a CB. Like, I've never been on a ship ever. Like, oh, you guys are on the fuck. Blah blah blah. This is like, no, man, that's not it. Like, because people don't realize Marine Corps, man. You know, sometimes you guys spend a lot of fucking time. You know, God bless you, but. And it kind of sucks too, because it's like fleet Navy, they have like a regular berthing and like all that other shit.
Oh, Marine berthings are shit.
And the Marine Corps, they're just like, all right, dude, just fucking sleep like right over. There's no light down here.
Yeah. You'll be perfect. You'll love it.
Stay right down here.
It's nice and dark. No one's going to see you jerking off in the corner.
That's pretty much that. Just stay away from the protein bars. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God. No, it was, you know, like, I think the thing that I noticed being on ship was, as a Marine, there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
There's absolutely, like, we had our guns on, our cannons on the fucking ship, but it was like, they weren't like, oh, go do preventive maintenance and put greasing the tube or something like that, because it's kind of like,
how many times can you do it? Like, after you do it once,
and then it's like, if you hit rough waters and someone's on top of a gun, and it's, you know, it's not safe. So they're just like, yeah, we grease them up and have them super greased so they wouldn't get super rusty or anything like that. But there is no kind of preventive maintenance work to be done on our howitzers. And then, so it was a lot of, you slept a lot, you played a lot of spades, you jerked off a lot, and you go to the gym.
Okay. All in that order.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes
you get pretty good at like putting a schedule together, and then I mean, on top of that, like, you know, I did a lot of chain smoking on ship,
dude.
A lot of times,
yeah. When there's nothing going on, and that's one of the things too. Like, people don't realize, like, you don't realize it's just something you just start picking up,
yeah.
And then later on, like, damn, man, I used to smoke like 3 packs a day.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had a cigarette in so many years, but in hindsight, I'm like, holy shit. Like, people that haven't seen me since between now and 2009 still associate me with 3 packs a day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you don't have nothing else going on. Your nerves are kind of already shot. You're trying to stay awake for some dumb reason, et cetera, man. So, like, on that ship, though, like, how long? You said you were out there 6 months?
No, cruising, I mean, the whole Mew was a 6 month deployment.
Okay, gotcha.
But it was like on ship. I think we were out to see. We went out to sea twice. The first time was about a month. We sailed to South Korea. We did some training with the Rock Marines out there.
Was it in Pohang?
Pohang, yeah, man.
Yeah, I fucking love Pohang, dude.
Yeah, we did artillery shoot out there. That was, and it rained.
I built your galley, bro. It was like NMC. I was in 4. We built the galley you guys ate at. Yeah, man.
I felt like Pohang reminded me. I felt like I was in the hills in Pennsylvania.
Yes,
it had that feel to it.
Yeah, man. And then like on the other side of the fence line, that's where you could actually see the targets and like all that other shit. Mm-hmm. Like whenever, because I was there in NMCB 4, 2001-2 time frame, and like, when you get shot, you can just smell the gunpowder waft over to the camp. Because it's like the whole camp smelled like the fucking lines, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, how long did you stay in Korea?
We were there for about a week and a half, I think.
Did you shoot howitzers or just guns?
We did a howitzer shoot out there. And that was kind of cool. Unfortunately, it's caused like an international incident or any, and I was kind of hoping that we'd get the North Koreans pissed off. And
you're kind of a little bit far away for that, but yeah, you never know.
No, but that was, you know, that was, Liberty was garbage. It was such shit.
Really?
Oh, we got fucked.
Did they not let you go? Oh,
we had 2 days
off
ship Liberty. Each day, 4 hours, no drinking.
All right. So
it's like, what's the fucking point, bro?
When you were in Pohang, you had to stay on the ship, or did you stay on the camp on Pohang?
We were in a camp in Pohang, but I think for only like a couple of nights. A lot of it was just out in the field, just sleeping in tents under stars and shit.
Gotcha, man. Shit, that sucks, dude. Yeah, because Pohang's a fun town, man. It was fucking
cold as hell, man.
It's like a Korean Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like their second biggest. I don't know. Brian Deskep used to say this all the time. It's the second biggest steel city in South Korea. They'd be like, oh, cool. What's the first? I don't know. But this is the second biggest steel city in South Korea.
Dude, wouldn't that be interesting if they had like a pandemic of like one of their sports teams just has like a bunch of like chronic traumatic encephalopathy from like from their sports, like in Pittsburgh with all the players that got CTE. Like if Pohang, it's a steel city problem, man.
Yeah, that's it, man. We have that. It's in our water. That's it. It comes out from the, you know, the Decimer theory, where they smelt the metal and then these properties rise to the bottom, the other properties to the top, but it all goes into the air. And then Jim Brown from Cleveland. Yeah. Rest in peace, Jim Brown.
Yeah, no kidding.
But rival of Pittsburgh for many years.
That's funny, man. So Pohang was just, just shit Liberty.
Yeah, damn, that sucks. Because Pohang's a fun city, man.
It looked fun. I was like, this could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And after Korea, then you went like...
We hopped back on the boat and went back to Oki. I think, they dropped us off at White Beach and then we took buses back to...
Fuck
Hansen,
yeah.
Hung around Hansen for a month or two and then went back on the ships and set sail. And Went to Thailand for Operation Cobra Gold.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, did a whole Operation Cobra Gold, worked with the Thai Army and the Thai Marines, and had a couple of, I think we had like, I think 4 days liberty in Pattaya Beach. And that was fun, but it was, again, like, fun liberty, but for anyone that was E5 and below, Cinderella Lib.
Oh, in other words, you got to be back on ship at midnight.
Take your happy ass back by midnight. And so it was just like, could I really had a lot of fun out there. Did that and then hopped back on the ship, sailed through the Philippines, and then we had 4 days liberty in Singapore, where we stopped in Singapore, no training, just fucking there for liberty and
don't chew bubble gum. Have fun.
Oh, we found some places where you could spit on the ground.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we found the fucking shitty parts of Singapore for sure.
Yeah, you gotta have at least one district, so that way you can just kind of push people over that way.
It was, dude. It was very eye opening for me because this was 2004.
Okay.
And I remember I went to a movie theater. I think I watched The Day After Tomorrow. It was like an 8 p.m. show. And the first thing that I thought was just fascinating was you got to select your own seat, which nowadays is common.
Yeah.
In 2004, I was like, dude, this is like picking a ticket reserved. It's like going on an airplane. Mm-hmm. So that I thought that was fascinating. And then another thing was the film, like, it was packed. The movie house was packed.
Right.
And in the front row, there was like a group of probably like five or six teenage girls. And they're doing what like teenage kids do in a movie theater. They'd have like side conversations and be a little bit loud.
Right.
But whenever they made loud noise, I'm not shitting you, dude, the entire theater in unison shushed them all at once. Happened like six times.
Hell
like,
yeah.
It's like, whoa, that blew. I was like, dude,
what? I love it.
Because like in the States, if someone's loud, you're like, shut the fuck up, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I'd never, ever witnessed anything like that before.
Oh, so it was like, incredible. It was a polite shushing, not a like, dude, shut the.
No, yeah. It was just everyone shh. But it was like, you know, 500 people in the movie theater.
Dude, that's funny, man. That's like, you ever gone to New Beverly?
I've never been to that yet.
It's my favorite. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to see a midnight show tonight because it's, but I think tonight is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Or Kill Bill. One of the two. I don't know. But it's Tarantino's theater. Long story longer. I'm talking about this a million times in this goddamn thing. But everybody there loves film. And it's, you know, Tarantino's theater. So they play great stuff. 35 millimeter print, blah, blah, blah. And it's like that. If somebody pops out a phone, put that away.
Yeah.
Put that away. And then the second anybody's like, won't shut the fuck up. Shh. Same thing. It's just like they get hushed and and that's what the second you said that, that's what it reminded me. I was like, oh hell yeah, man. It reminds me of New Bev, dude.
Yeah, man. So that was like, for me, I think that was like just the I think in all the different places that I got to go see on that Mew, it was just really interesting to see how much different, like, culturally they were from here in the States. It was just like, you know, like going to Okinawa and just like everyone's like super, super polite. Like you go to like a little corner store and you're like, oh, hey, you're out of coffee. And they like run and rush to go do it and do a good job. Whereas like, you know, you go to 7-Eleven here, they don't give two shits.
Like, it reminds me a lot of like small towns, you know, that's what it reminds me of. Like where there's a lot of like, you know, instead of people like, ugh, fuck this, dude. It's like people like, this is my mom and pop shop. I give a shit. You know what I mean? And it reminded me a lot of that. What I always thought was weird in that place was personal bubbles. You know how like we're used to like you and I, no matter what, dude, I mean, you're my boy, but we're going to still sit kind of close. Even when we're close together, we're going to still sit a little bit different.
Yeah.
They're just like arm over top of each other, arm over top of each other.
Oh, yeah.
They're like legs touching each other. No big deal. You know, here it's just like somebody's legs touches you. It's just natural because you have your personal like bubble,
dude.
You know
what I loved about Singapore was so the escalators there really fast, really fast escalators, and they'd have signage that would say essentially right hand side is for standing, left hand side is for walking. And so if you were like standing on the left hand side, like next to someone, if someone came behind you and walked up, they wouldn't like tap you on the shoulder. They just get super, super, they get like nut to butt on you. Yeah, dude.
Wow.
So,
that's like, creepy and funny at the same
hilarious.
Time.
Hilarious. It's like, wow, they do take they take this shit seriously.
Like, look, dude, you don't have, you know, this is my fucking right away, motherfucker. Get the hell over it.
Yeah, man.
How long did you do Singapore? Just like a couple weeks or months?
We had like, I think we had 2 days? 4 or 5 days off boat liberty. And some people got overnight, but a lot of us, we had to be back to the ship by like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, some shit like that.
So was that, I mean, was that like the only time you were there?
That was, yeah.
So, okay. And then like, where else did you go after that, man? It was like,
that just sailed around back to Oki, another month or two on Oki, and then fly back to the States. And we got back and then we found out, you're going to go back to Okinawa in 6 months on a unit deployment program.
Okay.
So that's why, like, if I had not thought of Mr. Miyagi going to Okinawa and raising my hand, I would have been to Echo Battery. I would have went to Iraq at least one time, probably twice. Oh,
no shit.
So it's just a whole, yeah, it's like, thank you, Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, right. You know, and the thing is, too, is like, not everybody has to go, you know?
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, yeah.
Well, and
go on.
I think just at that time that I served, 2002 to 06, it's incredible talking to people that are like my age that were in at that same time. You had a lot. It seemed like the chances of going to the sandbox were higher if you were like a reservist or in the National Guard,
right,
than if you were active duty.
Yeah, because like by that point for Seabees, they doubled it up because you have as many active as you do reserve battalions. Mm-hmm. So you would they would have like when I was in like Fallujah, 25 was in Alta Qaeda TQ, and we were in Fallujah, and then like I remember like Kuwait. When I was in Kuwait, it was 40. It was like 26, and then they turned over with 14. So like we did 6-7 month deployments or whatever, mm-hmm. and then halfway through it, this is when the reserve battalion would flip. And then halfway through that, it was when the active duty battalion would flip. So it was like there's always one constant that, you know, saw the other one through, yeah. You know? Yeah, man. That's a trip, dude. And then if you were there, 06, it would have been cool because I was like, oh, I fucking bumped into you. You know? I was like, holy shit. So I spent 06 in mostly Fallujah. Mm-hmm. Most of my gear stayed in Fallujah. And then I fixed a lot of fucking roads out there, man.
Oh, man.
I was showing you the one that was a Chicago Bridge, MSR Chicago.
Yeah.
I got that Chicago Bridge picture in my kitchen. I was a fucking motherfucker, but it's just, that's cool though. I mean, if you not have to do that and still, you know, do you ever like feel like, oh shit, I wish I would have gone or, you know,
I mean, every now and then, but it's kind of like, I'm at a point in my life now where it's like, for whatever reason, this just the fucking path and the universe is just like, this is where you're going to go. And it's kind of like, it was, you know, I mean, I could have eased, I remember, God, what was it? So I was in Fox Battery. And like my last like 9 months in the Corps, Fox Battery was doing a workup to actually go out and go to Ramadi. And they took all the short timers that didn't have enough time to deploy. They just, the term in the Marine Corps, they say FAP. You got fapped. I don't know. Understand?
Right.
Like it's really for non-military people. You're thinking jerking off, but they're like fapped. You get fapped out to guard. You get fapped out to work at the gym. I got sent to maintenance. So I picked up trash at the side of the road every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then I cut the grass. It was one of the, I always said, nice. if I could just do 20 years just mowing the lawn and trimming the hedges, I'd stay in. But I got fapped out to maintenance. And I remember one day I was waiting to take the loser cruiser into Oceanside on a weekend, and the CEO of Fox Battery was like, hey, where are you going, Rosie? And I was like, I'm going to town. He's like, oh, I'll give you a ride. I was, all right. So he gives you a fucking ride. He gives this whole fucking spiel about, you know, extending, you know, and my enlistment. And he's like, oh, you know, you want to say that you went out there and da 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 da. And I'm like, fuck, shut the fuck up.
Dude, yeah. It's like, you don't know what my goals are, you know? And it's like, you've already, I always try to talk people in if they don't have a plan.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're going
to
get out.
Like, I'm going to college. I'm going to study political science.
Dude, if you already have a goal in mind, it's like, my biggest thing is like, I would love for you to stay. You're a good leader. If they're good, worth a damn. You know what I mean? Like, I would love for you to pass on what, you know, you have.
Yeah.
Because it's awesome. But the point is like, don't, to the point where it's just like, well, okay, well, if that's not what you want to do, let's get you the programs that you need. Like, all right, so you're going to go through the college programs. Do you know what a VSO is? You know, that kind of shit.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and like for me, I'm like, dude, I'm a shitbag. Like, I was BFC. I'm like, you don't really want me around.
There's a,
like, I tell all the sergeants and corporals to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Like I'm not.
That's like my first my first quarter of my career was like totally like that.
Yeah.
My thing's this still this day. It's like, I'll talk to people and like, dude, I don't know if I want to get out or not. And I mean, that means stay in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you don't know, stay in. Yep. Like I'm thinking about it. No, that means stay in. It means you're going to stay in. But it's like, dude, I want to get out. I need to get out. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly.
Go, dude. Yeah, but the thing is, line your fucking self up. You know, if you could go back and tell yourself, hey, what would you have done differently? Or
if I could go back in time and to young Rosales getting out of the Corps and going to college, I would have said, don't fucking fall in love with that bitch. She's going to rip your fucking heart out.
Okay, so the Sam Kinison route. Okay.
Yeah. You know that, or I probably would have told myself interesting. As soon as I got out and I was in college, I started watching a lot of stand-up comedy specials and shit.
Oh, cool.
Like, that's when I watched. I never watch stand-up comedy specials now, but that's when I started watching a lot of that shit. And in the back of my head, I was like, oh, that'd be kind of fun to do. And I just never did it.
Right.
And so I probably would have been like, go fucking do that. Don't wait until fucking 2017 to do stand-up.
Yeah. Man. Like, and that was like how long after you were out when you started doing stand-up? Because that's how you and I are friends, man. It's like Ryan Talmo room. Yeah,
I started
or some
in 2017, so I had been out of the Marine. It'd been over 10 years since I'd been out of the Marine Corps.
Okay.
So it would. Yeah, I started doing stand-up super late in life.
Right. Well, yeah. How old are you?
I'm 43, so I think I was.
No. When you started?
When I started, I think I was 37.
Okay. Yeah, cool. I started in my mid-30s also because like I was halfway through my military career, and then I was like, man, that's what I want to do, you know? And do you ever feel kind of like weird sometimes about it, like being older and like, because some of these mics, dude, there's a lot of younger people, but.
I think for me, it's just, it does help me stay, it kind of helps me keep a pulse on kind of like youth culture and stuff.
Yeah.
Being around these young kids and stuff. But I mean, sometimes it's like they'll tell the joke and I'll be like, that's now you're off.
Yeah.
But it's not so much like, oh, I started late in life and I could be some, cause I think part of it is like, I lived a good life and I lived life. And so it's kind of like, I can't imagine how it is to be 18, 19 years old and do this. Cause it's kind of like, what
in
the world have you seen? What have you really experienced?
Cause that's a question people ask me a lot. And I'm happy, dude. Like, this is all I want to do. Stand up comedy and help vets and hang out and do this.
Yeah, man.
Record in my living room with my comic book collection and my cat.
Yeah, man.
Rest in peace, ACB2. The coffee cup for those that are audio and not lit. Anyways, but yeah, man. So that's cool. Cause like a lot of times people are like, hey man, how do you feel about being older and all the younger people? And it's kind of in a weird way. It reminds me a lot of the military because like that whole time I was, you know, when I went in 19 and then, but I retired at, you know, 39. And it's a young man's game or young woman's game, whichever. It's like, you know, because there people are pretty much getting out ballpark 25 to 27 years old, you know, and you always have this new batch of people just getting out of high school showing up.
Yeah, man.
And it's like, you know, and it's like I kind of felt like I never left that wave. So I don't even realize my real age half the time.
Yeah.
You know,
it's nice, dude. And I think out here in L.A., it is nice because I'm around comics that are like my age. I'm around some that are like in their 50s and their 60s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's, to me, that's really cool. Like, I cut my teeth out in Washington, D.C., and it was all just a bunch of young.
You started doing stand-up? Where'd you go to college?
I went to college down in San Diego County. I stayed in San Diego, and I stayed at, like a fucking rat. Like, you know, a rat just not being able to leave the flood. I moved to Oceanside. I lived in like Oceanside Vista, and I went to MiraCosta College, the community college there in Oceanside, and then I went to Cal State San Marcos.
All right, so I didn't know, like, were you hitting the mics down there? Or?
No, never.
Okay. Yeah, because like Mike Vinn.
Mike Vinn's down at the store in La Jolla.
Yeah, and he's a Marine. That's what I was like, oh shit. So then, after you left San Diego, that you started doing stand up in DC.
Yeah, I moved out to DC for a job, and I lived out there for like over 5 years, and then like halfway into being out there, I kind of like relationship fucking fizzled, and then I was like, you know, just kind of my sister lived in New York City.
Yeah.
And I would go visit her. And one time I was like thinking, like, what am I going to do? She's got an infant baby and stuff. And so it's like, I'm going to have to be quiet by like seven in the evening. And so
I looked
up open mics, and I was like, hey, I think I want to go do an open mic. And she's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. So I fucking went to an open mic there in the Village and fucking, you know, did my first 5 minute set and didn't vomit.
Yeah.
How did you feel
about your first set? Was like, ugh.
No, it, I mean, or, it was, I got someone to laugh because I fucking told a story about hooking up with a woman in Oceanside when I was in the Marine Corps that was into adult nursing relationship fetish. So
okay.
It's fucking crazy. That was such a fucking funny, it was such a funny story, man. And yeah, so I got someone to laugh with that. I was like, oh, they kind of laughed. Okay. And you know, you got the bug and just kept doing it.
Yeah, because like the people probably don't know, but you're like above a PG-13 comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
We've done some pretty fucking dank rooms. We did some fun rooms, like Aztec, dude.
That was a blast, man. Yeah.
And then, but it's just like, yeah, it's kind of funny too, because talking with comics reminds me of a lot of war stories, but talking about camps and shit like that. You're like, oh yeah, man, Hanson, Schwab, Fatim, Molester, Courtney. It's like Liquid Zoo, Comedy Store,
oh, God.
Aztec Corbin Brewing. Bowl, it's like Corbin Bowl. Yeah, it's like, it's just like talking about different fobs and cops like throughout the world, man.
When it comes to the
comedy thing. DC, wow, what year were you starting out in DC then?
It was like 2017. I think around like August of 2017 was when I started out. Yeah, man.
How long were you in DC then?
I lived in DC. I lived out there until 20. I think I moved out there in like 2014, and then I moved out here in August of 2019.
Wow, dude, we got some overlapping time in that area.
Yeah,
because
man.
Like I was in I was Virginia Beach, but I would do everything from Virginia Beach to Richmond, like basically the 64. Mm-hmm. We used to call it the War of 64 because Richmond and Virginia Beach used to have like these kind of comedy clashes. And like I think like Jesse Thomas and a couple other cats.
Place in Newport News, is it Cozzies or Cozies?
Oh, Cozzies. Yeah, yeah. Cozzies. Yeah, Cozzies, yeah. And then
I did Cozzies once. I remember doing that.
Yeah. So yeah, because you have Cozzies, the Funny Bone, and then like Dan Ellison and Tim Lillies and a couple other people had rooms around there too. And mm-hmm. you know, those guys were cool cats, dude. You know, you get time. And then some of them rooms were fucking. I remember one of my favorites and least favorite rooms were both ran by Dan Ellison. We did this Mojo Bones. It was like, we called it Comedy Vietnam. Okay. And then it was like Comedy Normandy after that, because it was just like so bad.
Oh,
but
man.
There, he also had this one room was like, it reminded me a lot of the Arlington Draft House.
Okay.
Because remember how that's a movie theater and all that other stuff.
But yeah,
it was like the Arlington Draft House, but in Virginia Beach. The fuck was that called? A comedy cafe or something? But it was basically at one of those sit down, order your food at your table movie theaters. Okay. That was like a lot of fun. It was like, oh, okay, cool, man.
Yeah,
and,
man.
And it felt like you're on a rank system, because like the higher up you went on the thing, you know, like, okay, cool. I was like the first comic. I'm new. You're like, oh, okay, I'm at number 4 or 5. I'm not doing too bad now. This is cool. Man. So that then. 2019 is when you came out here.
Yeah.
So how what made you say I want to go to LA? Because you did the New York thing for a minute too, right?
I mean, I would go and visit New York and do mics like when I go visit. I never like lived there.
Yeah.
So most of the comedy I did was just in the DMV.
Oh, okay, got you. Yeah.
And
the DMV, that's like the DC area,
yeah,
right? Okay.
Yeah, DC, Maryland.
It's not Virginia. Where you get your fucking driver's license.
Yeah. So after about a year of doing stand-up out there, I was like, oh, this is fun. I really enjoy doing this. And then I kind of realized, like, I took a trip out to LA for work, and I realized and did some mics out here, and you know, got to experience Marty's in all of its glory.
No, fucking Marty's, for those who don't know, it was over by Rock and Roll Ralph's. It was wow.
Yeah.
That was a romper fucking room. There was never any audience. It was always just comics hanging out. It's basically like a biker bar for comics.
Yeah.
And rowdy as shit. And everybody got along great. It was fun. I did a couple, I think, I Am Burger podcasts in there, because mm-hmm. he had that side room doing the burger podcasts.
Man. Yeah. And so I kind of realized, I was like, I really like doing comedy. It was a mixture of like, I really like doing comedy, and I also missed living in Southern California.
Gotcha.
And so I was like, I should get back out to Southern California. I should figure out a way to get a job in LA so that way I can perform in LA. So I fucking found a job. I'd say this, anyone that's anywhere that's not in LA that's thinking about moving to LA, if you move out here, make sure you got a fucking job that pays. Dude. Don't just do this whole, what's that song by Poison, Fallen Angel? Oh yeah, there's so many of those where it's just people just come out here. I'm gonna come out here and it's fucking fun.
Well, I was going the other route with Guns N' Roses.
You know where you are.
Yeah, it's fucking no.
You're in the jungle, baby.
But it's fun. It's kind of magical. But the whole La La Land thing is a facade.
Yeah.
And it's grimy. It's there's a lot of fucking snake oil. There's a lot of these kind of things to, you know, I'm gonna get your money, whether it's comedy competitions, comedy school, this or that. Bringer show bullshit. Yeah. So
there's some really cool cats, dude, but it's kind of hard to navigate through which one's which and just, you know.
Yeah. And so if you have a desire to come out here, like, get a plan, get yourself a job that pays. Cause like, I got a job that pays. So it's like, I don't have to deal with like the bullshit of like having a roommate.
Right.
Or roommates, plural. Like some people have to have lots of roommates because cost of living's a fucking nightmare and all that shit, dude.
Dude, this town's like, you know, I was just looking at average is like, what is it, like 28 for a single bedroom now? $2,800 a month for a single bedroom.
It's ridiculous. It's getting pretty bad. So,
and I was looking at a place in Ohio, mortgage $600 a month. I was like, dude. Are you fucking kidding me? I know. Right by the river?
Nice. I know. If I had like a teleportation device, dude, I'd buy a house back in Michigan and just teleport back and
forth. I'm not at that age yet where it's like I want to quit doing this though. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, I know. No, it's like, likewise, man.
I still feel like, you know, I've been doing this shit for over 10 something years and I just feel like I'm like basically a teenager right now and doing in this thing and I don't ever really want to quit, you know?
No, I feel you, dude.
And it's like every time, do you ever get like frustrated, like fuck this, and then like something cool comes along, and you're like,
yeah. No, I recognize that, you know, you watch, I love watching podcasts with the comics that have been doing it for a good 30 years.
Yeah.
Because they really, they'll talk about how like it's a long process, it takes a long time. And so a lot, I look at this as like it's an exercise in patience. You know,
true.
And it's like it's really easy to get like bent out of shape. Part of it is just culturally. We live in a culture of we want instant gratification. We want our fucking food delivered to our door right now. You know, we want, you know, post something on social media. I want those likes and blah, 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 and all that kind of crap. And it's kind of like there's something to just kind of like just enjoy the silence, you know, stop and smell the flowers every now and then, all that shit, you know.
Well, oh yeah, like the Ferris Bueller, man. You know, if you don't take a look, it's going to pass you by.
Exactly.
That's the thing where it's like instant gratification, you get it, but at the same time, you just got to keep working because, you know, like, I don't know, I really like the Gary Shandling Zen Diaries, like, thing because that was on HBO. It's called Max now.
Yeah.
Okay, it's on there now, but I really like that Zen Diaries because, you know, I guess some comic asked him, like, what's the shortcut? And he's like, there is none. You know, you just got to keep working.
Just do it. Love it.
There's no shortcut.
Yeah, it's fucking, here's a shortcut. Work hard.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it. And then, like, some people are like, oh, dude, you guys are out there. It's hustle culture. It's like, it's trying to get a fucking job.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? There's no hustle culture. It's not hustle culture. It's called fucking work ethic.
Yeah.
And you're just upset you're not going to go out there and, you know.
Yeah, part of it is, like, it's working hard, but it's having fun.
Yes.
It's enjoying it.
Being honest about it.
Yeah. And really, I think that's for me, I think that's one of the benefits of being older is that I kind of recognize like it's just a fucking roller coaster, man. There's ups and downs. Yeah, and it's just kind of like, and it's for me, I'm really on this whole quest of like, keep having fun. Like, and I tell my close friends that I do comedy with, I'm like, if I start being a real fucking bitch and complaining and look like I'm not having fun, you need to fucking grab me and say, you should fucking quit. Cause it's like, what's the point if I'm not having fun and enjoying it?
Yeah. Cause this is like, there's no money really in this.
No shit. Know? Yeah, I know, man. Just have some fucking fun. And you know, and I feel like for me, it's so important. Like there's like when I perform, I really like connection. yeah, with man. An audience. And so it's like, if I'm up there and I'm just smiling and having fun and being playful, it's usually easier for them to like me.
Yeah.
You know, than if I just go up there and I'm fucking being a bitch.
Right. Well, you get mean. Yeah. Which not bad mean, but it's fun mean. You get fun mean when you're up there. I love
like
it.
Yeah, I like the fun mean. Yeah,
dude, you get fun mean, and that's what another thing too is like. Even if we have shit rooms, and I just see the lineup, like let's put it this way. Like I've done Aztec Brewery, the one that we were just on, like a week ago. It's nice. It's a brewery in fucking San Diego. Packed the house out one night. It was like great. It was like fucking. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Killer fucking show. Also, Ryan, I'll tell you about this other night too. We were on, and there was like. Nobody there. It was like fucking vacant. It was crickets, and but the lineup was it was like Adam, Berger, Ryan, me, bunch of San Diego people I've never met. Super eager, young fucking San Diego. Got shout out to a lot of the cats down there because there are fucking a lot of super eager, hungry comics down there.
Yep.
That you don't want to sleep on these cats, you know. And they were fun, and it was just like, so what? The room kind of sucked. I still got up. They still got up. Yeah, and man. At the end of the day, it was like, I met some cool comics. It was like, I made new family members.
Exactly, because, man.
You know, regular people don't really, I don't want to say regular people, but people that don't do stand-up don't get it. It's like, you know, fucking, I'm not a soccer player, so I want to understand the soccer locker room mentality. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't see why you bond to the sport. But, you know, and it's kind of like this, you know. We're the Hunger Games of entertainment, you know?
For sure. Holy Christ.
And then people are like, what's your end goal? I'm like, I just want to get fucking paid.
Yeah, I'd like to make some money from doing this. And
chicken strips sometimes.
Yeah. End goal? I don't know. Headline in front of fucking 50 people? That sounds like a good time. You know, like not being in the fucking, you know, open mic goddamn gulag. Right.
Oh, yeah. And the same as like Ryan's always like, hey, dude, do you want to headline this? So I'm like, dude, can I just host it? I have more fun hosting than I do headlining sometimes. I mean, if I could get paid more to host than headline, I would do that. Because you're the conduit for the whole show.
Yeah.
I love that. Headlining's fun too. So, you know, but don't get me wrong, but I'd rather just be up all the time, back and forth, you know, class, you're dismissed. All right. Fuck yeah. Good times.
Yeah, man. It's, I think that's my thing. It's just, I'm just really at this point where I'm just like, I just want to enjoy the ride. I just want to have fun.
Yeah.
With regards to building a following, I fucking gave a shit about social media and comedy and following building and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like, you know, if people like me and they want to follow me, that's fine. But like, you definitely aren't going to get any Instagram reels of me doing crowd work at a show. Like, it's a lot of just fucking clips of shit that I see at the beach and in nature with like some weird psychedelic music. And
that was cool too, because you live over by Venice Beach. And every time I have somebody come visit, you know, because I mean, you've seen the house, you know what I mean? It's like, it's cool. I got a spare bedroom. So I have family and friends come visit and stuff like that. And Venice is usually one of the spots I love going to. You got
to
take the walk up and down. And I remember you're always shooting some little clip from Venice Beach or something really cool or some homeless fucker. that I was like, oh, I remember one time you posted like this Burt Reynolds mural thing. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I never saw it ever in my life. And then now I see it every time I'm in Venice Beach. Like, oh shit.
Dude, man, there's a lot of cool shit out there. And a lot of what I really appreciate right now is women are not wearing bras at all.
Right.
Like, just, I'm like, free the nipple. Yeah, thank you. Don't wear a bra and wear a sheer, like, just a lot of that.
But that's like for the, what is it? Not the gram anymore. It's for TikTok, you know, because there's so much TikTok shit and there's so many influencers that hang out in that Venice Beach area.
Yeah.
Dude, it's kind of crazy, man.
Dude, the funny thing with the influencers there, this is like about 2 months ago. I was walking around in the morning, getting my morning coffee, going down the boardwalk, kind of past the area where, you know, where the skate park is there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There were like some young kids recording some fucking influencer content bullshit. And this bum, it was really strange because he was wearing all black. He was like in black tactical gear
with
a big black fucking sea bag. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, Is this a mass shooting about?
Yeah, what?
I was like, what the fuck? And just the kids that were like filming their TikTok shit, just completely oblivious to it. And yeah. I was like, is this like a fucking scene out of some weird fucking film? Where like part of me wants to fucking shoot that as like a scene in a film where it's,
yeah.
like, it's just a bunch of like, you know, LA just, you know, have you ever seen the Instagram influencers gone wild?
No, but I'll that's have to check that out.
Dude, that's a great fucking Instagram thing.
Okay.
It's just what it is. It's like other people recording social media influencers doing their stupid dances and
shit. Oh, yeah.
So it'd be
like
someone, like a chick at the beach with like a Brazilian butt lift or whatever. And she's like twerking on the sand. And it'll be like, you know, like a dad with his kids fucking filming it next to it. So you kind of get the outside perspective.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. There's
not to keep going on this, but now I've seen some shit like that where, like, especially after the riots we had that are blocks from my house, mm-hmm. where it was a girl who walked up and she grabbed a hammer and some nails. And they filmed this girl, like, just grabbed some hammer and nails. And then they're filming. Then somebody filmed her with the hammer and nails, looked like she was doing some work. And then she just walked back into the car. And then so, like, they got the content of her looking like she was actually doing help.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
I saw that. Yeah, yeah, I saw one. Like, there was one in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
She was a hammer and nail. She had a power drill.
Oh, okay. And she yeah, like see, she was people trying to, doing like, that drill, kind of
like,
stuff.
Fucking, a goddamn plywood. Into a broken window or something like that. Yeah, dude, a lot of weird.
Just it's like, oh, see, look what I did. And everybody's like, oh, God bless your heart. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, bitch, yo, if you want to go do some stuff, shout out to Team Rubicon. Like, if you want to go do some legit stuff, go do it. Do yeah. it. Like,
no, they're doing it for yeah. for the gram, man.
Yeah, it's like, nah, man, it's go so out, weird. Join Team Rubicon, or there's a lot of other cool places like that.
Yeah,
you know, and then go do some disaster relief, and it feels good when you yeah. get a chance to actually legit do that.
I saw a lot of that stuff, like during the pandemic, like especially with the Black Lives Matter protest. There was a lot of just people posting their selfies from going to the protest. The dating apps, dude, for like 6 months after the Black Lives Matter protest, a lot of selfies of just these woke white chicks at the, you know, with the little signs and all this kind of stuff posting on like Tinder and Bumble. And it's like, what the fuck? It's like, and dude, we're going to see the same thing with the WGA strike.
Yeah.
Guarantee it, man.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's like, if you believe in whatever it is, whether fucking that's awesome. But if you're just posing for that shit, that's fucking lame.
It's
hard
to delineate, you know? Between the two, man.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people, I mean, you know, that, that's their thing. Back to the fucking Instagram lies or whatever. Influencers gone wild.
Yeah.
So
that's a brilliant. Yeah, that's a fun. There's some really that they don't do them anymore. I haven't seen them in a while, but I like the Influencers Gone Wild. And then they used to have Gutter People of Los Angeles.
Okay.
Which is just a lot of homeless people. A lot of just fucking, and there was this one guy, he was kind of, this is the only time I was super, super starstruck in LA was this one guy. He was a homeless guy, meth addict. He's probably about like 400 pound Mexican guy, amputated leg. He was lovingly referred to as Chinga Tu Madre guy because a lot of people would film him and just say, Chinga Tu Madre, hijo de puta. I saw him one time. I was riding my bike through Santa Monica, stopped the bathroom, took a shit, came out, and lo and behold, Chinga Tu Madre guy. And he's washing his ass in a fucking water fountain.
Okay.
Oh, I was so starstruck. I didn't even think to take out my phone and take a picture.
Dude.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Not homeless, but one of my favorite people that star strikes me, I guess. Mm-hmm. Still to this day, Harry Perry, dude. Like, anytime I'm down in fucking Venice Beach, now he's walking. Because he used to, you know, be on those, they're big wheel, like fucking, almost like rollerblades, but bigger.
Uh-huh.
But Harry Perry, because that movie, The Gift, the Jane's Addiction, Perry Farrell movie, The Gift, back in the day, and he was like just walking. Perry Farrell's just walking, and then I'm a singer, I'm a feature. You know, there's Harry Perry rolling up on him. You know, he let me put my sticker on his guitar. So it's like, fuck yeah, man.
That's awesome, dude.
So you got anything coming up? Anything you're doing? Anything you want to promote? Like,
I'm performing at El Cid tonight at 7:30.
Okay, El Cid tonight.
Comedy go-go at El Cid. It should be fun. It's on the patio, but El Cid's a real interesting spot. I love the fucking it's all, I mean, it was built like in the 50s or the 60s. It just has this old,
that's cool,
old feel there. I'm doing that. And then I am doing a, oh God, I hate to admit doing this because I'm not a big fan of doing this shit, but I'm doing a competition at the Tacoma Comedy Club.
Okay. Tacoma, Washington?
Yeah, up in Tacoma. What?
Okay.
And,
hey, I got some people up in Washington that are like, Washington State. Like,
yeah.
Where's Tacoma by? Is that near Seattle?
Yeah, it's like south of Seattle. It's probably, I think, like,
sweet,
30 minutes, 45 minutes outside of Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing that.
I got about a dozen. They're not watching live, but they'll watch it.
Sunday, June 4th, Tacoma Comedy Club. It's okay. Part of this. It's this competition called Best Humor Brigade. It's PG-13 clean. So let's see how.
PG-13 clean.
I got the rules. I said just not a lot of no F bombs, no N words. I don't have a problem with abstaining from the N word. The F bombs, I prefer not to do it, but I can do it. You know, I think some of my bits about, you know, like sucking dick and stuff, I may have to table those.
Yeah,
But yeah, I think that should be interesting. You know, one of the only reasons why I'm doing it is because I know essentially what I'm going to do is on Sunday, I'm going to take an early flight. Dude, round trip for like $120.
Really?
Yeah. And so what I'm doing, I'm just
flying to Seattle or Tacoma itself? Or?
The airport, the Seattle-Tacoma airport, it's like in between both Seattle and Tacoma.
Yeah.
And so I found super cheap tickets, direct flights from Burbank up there.
Fly
from Burbank early in the morning on Sunday. And just fucking get there and just kind of like, you know, just hang out and do, you know, fucking hang out until, because I think the show starts at around like 7 or 8 o'clock. I forget when. Do the show. And then I got like an early flight at like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning on Monday. So I'll just fucking hang out at night and then just make my way to the airport and just fucking sleep in the airport until. So it's like I'm not a fan of doing like festivals or the competitions because it's kind of like. You have to pay for the travel. You got to pay for the lodging and all this kind of stuff. And maybe, maybe I'll get like 6 followers on Instagram that I don't really give a shit about building a following or anything like that. So it's all about like, but I was like, yeah, you know, I can do this. And I think first place gets like $500. I'm like, I'm a pretty good comic. And I see the rest of the comics are on the lineup and they're all super new and not that good. So I feel pretty confident that I can win. But I mean, granted, it's this whole like they're in the back of my head, I'm like, you know how comedy is and competitions are. Yeah. It doesn't always go to the person that's the most talented. So
a lot of times it's the person that brought the most friends. That
exactly.
Could be the
loudest. Yeah. So, you know,
I was not a fan of competitions and shit like that too. And then, the dude who owns runs the Virginia Beach Funny Bone, Richmond Funny Bone, talked to me one time. He's like, no, it's not the competition. It's you're being seen by people that is going to bless you to work their clubs. So even if you come in third or fourth, but to them.
Yeah. I'm hoping like, hey, the guy that runs the booking for this like, place sees me. He's like, oh, you're funny. Then I can lead to work down the road. Yeah.
Cause that's what got me into the Funny Bone. There was just doing the Clash of the Comics is what it's called there. Yeah, man. That's fucking dope though, man. Oh, Kent is the Oxnard. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like they're the Cleveland or whatever. It's like, cause I remember that bit I do. I've been a good place in the bathroom. I was in Fallujah. I was in Ramadi. I was in Oxnard. That Kent is the Oxnard. You know what I mean? So if you ever have any beat where you're going to talk about shitty parts of town, I found that out cause I accidentally stayed in Kent
because
it was cheaper. And now I found out why it was cheaper because like there was probably a murder that was done in that hotel
once
a day. And so I was kind of freaked me out. Kent is definitely the part of the Seattle area that you can totally just be like, oh, I'm going to open up on this town part of the time. And everybody gets it. And of course, it's like the Portsmouth. Like everybody loves Portsmouth except for, you know, some people that are like, oh, yeah. So Kent, Portsmouth, Oxnard, Cleveland, stuff like that. You can get away with those.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. And what's your Instagram or socials?
Instagram is at Chingadiculous, Chingadiculous. Just look up Jacob Rosales. I know it's hard to spell, but the weird thing, I get this, you're fucking going to make your handle easier. And it's like, well, if I use my full name, Rosales is, ends with a Z. Most people want to spell it with an S. It's fucking confusing, fair. Whatever. So
that's, yeah.
Yeah. So just look up Jacob Rosales, R-O-S-A-L-E-Z, easy, just like your mom.
What?
Yeah. At the end. Yeah. I think I have Twitter, but I never use it. So if you want to, yeah, I'd say stick to Instagram. That's where I post content, but it's usually nothing comedy related. I stick to just, if I post anything about my shows that I'm on, I just post those in the stories. Cause I just don't, I'm at a point now where it's like, what if most people
use the app to make the faces move, the sing along of the song. Yeah.
Just that. And you know, yeah. But I mean, yeah, you're not going to see a lot of fire comedy. If you want to see me do comedy and laugh, fucking you got to see me live. Cause I'm very much against the whole, I'm going to post my stand-up. I feel I'm just, call me old school or whatever, but I feel like comedy is meant to be seen live.
Well, that's where I'm the same when it comes to a lot of it. I mean I'll plug like fucking posters or whatever I'm on,
yeah,
you know, but I don't like putting my clips up because it's just it's taken away from it because it's like, oh yeah, oh, and I'm like, nah, that's when you're in a room full of people, like you're fiery fucking funny, you're very animated, and then like you drag people in with you, so it's like you're part of an experience, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, man,
you gotta be there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so like exactly
when you're up there, you're buckle the fuck up, and then you take a lot of ownership and you take charge of the room, which is fun, and that's, you don't get that on an Instagram fucking
15 dude.
Second clip of a bit,
yeah,
you know, and that's it, man. Anything else you want to plug? Anything else? So you go.
That's about, I think, yeah, that's all I got. I don't have any. My June is very, very empty. I'll be going to a lot of fourth wall open mics.
You got it, man. Yeah. So, all right. Cool, man. Anything else you want to plug? We're good. That's it.
Yeah, that's it, man.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, this is fun.
If you
dude.
Go back one more time, if you go back and talk to your early self, what would you say? We did that once already with the Marine Port.
Yeah.
But like starting as a comic.
As a comic?
Or an arts or whatever.
Yeah, just have fun, man. Have Solid. Fun. Enjoy the ride. And don't get don't get caught up in the this is stuff that I tell myself now, and I'd probably tell myself this this is overall anything. Can focus on the things that you can control. Don't True. Give any power, any energy to the shit you can't control. You know, oh, this person's getting booked for this and da 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 da. Why are you even fucking worrying about that? You're not part of that world. Amen. You know, fucking can't see into that. So why don't even give that any of your mental space and energy?
A lot I think of people get pissed off at nepotism. It's like, yeah, well, you know, yeah, dad worked hard to be there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? No, it's the Nepo baby bullshit. It's like here in LA and Hollywood, it's like, boo, it's like, what the fuck? It's like he wants nepotism. Here, fucking go back to Michigan and hear people fucking argue over goddamn fucking shitty tractor. That's some Nepo baby bullshit. Jesus Christ. I wanted the waterbed, you son of a bitch. Like, Christ alive. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Legit. And it, yeah, enjoying the ride. A lot of times too is like just hanging too, just fucking no matter where you go, you're always going to want to see the next level and you're always going to want to get there.
Yeah.
So you're never going to be satisfied if you don't enjoy the ride.
Yeah,
you're just always going to just be like, fucking, you're going to see the next goal and you're just trying to fucking get to there. And if you're not enjoying from point A to point B, there's so much shit I pass up on just because I'd rather have a good ride than a fucking bullshit, you know? Yeah. And at the end of the day, if you're not happy, what the fuck?
Oh,
why are you doing this?
One last thing I would
please do.
I'd tell myself earlier, I'd go back to like when I'm like 23, 24, and I'd be like, you should try ayahuasca before you turn 40.
Why? Did it take you to, how old were you when you did ayahuasca?
I did it first time. I was 43.
Okay. Well, what would you think of it, man?
Oh, it was fucking a very fun experience. I enjoyed it immensely.
Jonathan David, rest in peace, was actually talking about, we're all supposed to do this. He passed away, but
yeah,
you know, and we're all like talking about it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Cause you know, I don't really talk about it much because I don't know how sanctioned it is, but,
it's not,
but talking about like was microdosing, mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
I'm very much for that. I think it helps a lot in microdosing.
Yeah,
and it helped me, but it's at the same time I don't want to get too in depth with talking about it. And mm-hmm. also, if people are on active duty, I fucking don't want you smoking weed.
Oh.
I don't want you doing any of that shit. I don't want you getting popped on a piss test,
dude.
So many good people I seen go away. You know, and it sucks, dude. Yeah. It's like, it's not worth it.
No,
you know,
it
wait
ain't.
Wait till you're fucking out.
It ain't. No, and I mean, like, now, especially here in California, because recreational weed's legal, like, thank fucking Christ, I was not in the core when recreational weed was legal. Because, like, dude, I'll go to Oceanside, I'll go to the pot shop there, and a bunch of fucking jarheads are in there. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Oh, we're just getting tobacco. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
A good combination of tobacco there, I see.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Why are you fucking staring at the water bonks?
Well, it's for tobacco use only, sir. Yeah, I can get weed easier than I can beer here. Like, most people don't, you know, in Ohio or wherever else, man, they don't comprehend that. It's just like, no, legit. I can get weed so much easier. I walk there. No big deal. To get liquor, I got to walk further.
Yep.
You know? It's like, holy shit. I was going to pull this up, see if there was any Q&A, but my fucking computer's just doing the whole, like, we're not going to let you open right now.
No, I feel you, man.
Yeah. So, well, I guess we'll fucking put it. We'll knock it on its head, as Jonesy used to say. We'll knock this on his head.
On the head.
Anything else? That's it. Going once, going twice. All right. What's up, Spaz the Cat? Just chilling over here. All right. So I guess for all those I follow, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. And never forget, Obi loves you. And we're out.